Good morning.
Good morning.
Humans are amazingly talented at not noticing their own pain. We're quick to dismiss injuries, illnesses, even tragedies as anything we need to worry about or as anything that might affect our lives. Think about it. What's the worst part of falling in public? It's not the scraped hands and bruised knees. It's the embarrassment of falling. And what's the first thing we say when somebody comes to help us? I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. Don't worry about it, I'm fine, I'm fine. I can't tell you the number of stories I've heard of people tripping over road construction equipment and breaking their wrist, or slipping on ice and breaking a hip, even getting hit by a car. And their first thought was not to go to the hospital, it was to dismiss the pain and carry on as if nothing had happened. Don't look at me, I'm fine. And what about mental health? Even our tragedy? We're really good at missing that. I mean, it looks obvious in other people, but when it's ourselves, it's just our life. I knew a man once. His name was George. And George admitted to me that he had been feeling so sad and angry, and he didn't know why. He would rather stay in his room than socialize. He had yelled at his mom when he had never yelled at his mother before. He even told me that he would randomly burst into tears and be inconsolable, couldn't stop himself. I don't understand why, he said to me. George was a newly arrived Syrian refugee. His father was still in Syria at the time. When I mentioned this, he seemed completely surprised by his own tragedy. Oh yes, I've seen dozens of friends die. Never really made that connection. There's a lot of stuff in this world that sit on our shoulders and tire us out as we walk. Our world moves at a million miles a second. There's always another job, another task. Always move, move, move. Many of us make it into our own beds at the end of the day, barely having had the energy to brush our teeth. But, hey, you gotta work to make money. And you gotta live to make memories. And you can't leave out your health. You've also got to eat right and work out and see friends and spend time with family. And what about us Christians? On top of all that, we've got to care. We need to care about the world and the poor and the hungry and the dispossessed and the sick. We need to run programs and give pastoral care and support the church. And all of this while keeping a cheery and pious disposition to let people know how great the Christian life really is. I mean, frankly, there's just not enough time in the day to worry about ourselves and our own pain. I mean, if we even have any. Thank God that we have a day of rest, the Sabbath day. Rest is important, so important, that God made sure that we rested at least one day a week. Which, of course, we all do, right? I don't know about you, but I've started taking Sabbath hours rather than days. I mean, I could never dream of taking a full 24 hours off. I'm a student, and I also work. Time off. Hilarious. I figure that if I can fit a nap in every 3 to 6 months, I'm probably good. All right. I know. We all know that rest is important. But that's what our world is like. I mean, there's always something else to do. Even at church. Who's running coffee hour? Who's running Sunday school? Who's helping me with Sunday school? No? Okay. There's always something else going on. Maybe that's what this Pharisee was speaking out against. No, he says. Rest is even more important than healing this woman today. And our reaction feels pretty natural. How can you say that? Healing this woman is, of course, important. What's a little more work on the Sabbath? It's fine. It's more than fine to work on the Sabbath as long as you're doing something for a good cause. Ooh, all of you church ladies know the danger of working just a little more for a good cause. In fact, the all too common phenomenon of volunteer burnout speaks exactly to this. So what about it? The Ten Commandments tell us that we need to rest on the Sabbath day, need to keep it holy. We can't just leave someone in need. We can't just forget our responsibilities. Should we not be the crowd? And not the Pharisee? I was wondering a lot about this passage earlier this week. On Monday, I was reading commentaries, considering different angles. Where am I going to go with this? I wanted to get my sermon title to carry by Monday night. You know, I've got things to do. I'm busy. Well, I couldn't think of something, so I figured I'll go to bed, sleep on it. I'm sure I can pop it off in the morning. And on Tuesday, I woke up, and I couldn't get out of bed. I have fibromyalgia. I was diagnosed when I was 24. Fibromyalgia is basically unexplained pain all over. And every once in a while, I get a bad attack. But this was the worst one ever. On Tuesday, I was unable to walk by myself. I could barely feed myself. I hurt from head to toe, everything. It was extremely frustrating. At one point, I was sitting at the doctor's office, sitting outside, trying to eat the lunch I brought myself. My elbow was resting on my fanny pack as I was trying to balance the fork, get the food up to my mouth so that I could just kind of bite it off the top. You should have seen the looks I was getting. Should we call someone? I did not look well. I was completely inept. I was confined to bed for the rest of the day. I couldn't work. You know what? I couldn't even rest. It hurt too much. I was lying in bed and I couldn't even rest. The next day I was able to walk. Good, good. But I was so tired from not having actually slept. I could feel every muscle straining to complete the most basic task. And it was in this state that my sermon title came to me. Because it was at this moment that I really started to imagine myself within that biblical scene. So, Jesus heals the woman, the Pharisee complains, and then the crowd jeers at his heartlessness. How could he not have compassion for this poor woman? How could he not see her need, her desperation? How could he not have pity on her pathetic disposition? How could he not notice her stooping back, her trembling arms, her pained expression as she tried to do the most basic task? Wait a second. Jesus, are you talking about me? I couldn't believe it. Here I am doing all this work for the church, and I end up being this crippled woman. Should the work of God hurt me so? So often we put ourselves in the position of the crowd, because it's easy to see the pain and brokenness in others. The truth is, though, that we come to this space with stooping shoulders and wearied brow. We're just as crippled as that woman, and we don't even know it. We come in need of rest so desperate that we don't even get to fully rest. We just collapse in the pew and hope that somebody will pass us a coffee so that we can make it through to the lunch with family at noon. You know how hard it is to get things done at church. There's volunteers for everything. There's always something else. We've got to get the community in. We've got to get the things running. We've got to get the money up. We've got to get all this done. What's Presbytery saying? Are they sending us a letter? Are we doing okay? Should the work of God hurt us so? We heard earlier from Psalm 103, a testament to God's steadfast and enduring love, God's provision for all things, all life, and all goodness. It doesn't seem to fit that our work with God should break us down into shells of people. God is life-giving. Shouldn't we feel filled with life? And if we are to help mirror God's intention of the kingdom here on earth, shouldn't what we do also be life-giving to all? If our own bodies are feeling crippled, what does that mean for the body of the church? Even in this wonderful community at KLUC, we have to see that our body is bent over and tired. The Sabbath was given to us specifically for the fact that we need to find rest in the most restful and life-giving space in all of creation. And that is in God. This day is the one that God made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. But we can't do that until we come to Jesus, until we let him lift us up. Jesus is the one who sees our brokenness in the crowd, who comes over and calls us, places his hands on us, and lifts us up out of our crippling pain so that we can see something different. Jesus is a path to a new life, one that doesn't weigh us down, but one that lifts our whole world up. Jesus is hope. Jesus is our assurance that all can and will be made right. Listen, the world is still full of pain. There is no way we can escape its burdens. As Christians, we are charged to live in this world, as full of pain as it is, and live in it with the hope of the kingdom, so that it can transform into the ideal that God has planned for us. We will get tired because pain is heavy. But we have been given this day where we have been commanded to take our rest in the love of God and the ever-present hope of Jesus. And as Jesus lifts us out of our pain and into rejoicing, God's life-giving power fills us so completely, so full that it spills out and flows into the whole world. That is what it means to rest on the Sabbath day. Not to just collapse and hope that we can last it a little longer before the next task. It's not just another bit of work to do on Sunday morning. It's a chance to rest in that love and then let that rest spread so others can rest too. There's another hint in this story. When this woman is seen by Jesus, is lifted up by Jesus, her first reaction is not to dismiss her pain, is not to try to pretend it didn't happen. It is nothing but unabashed joy and praise. What would it be like if we allowed that spirit to enter into us so fully that the work of the church became not another task, but rest in itself? What if our work here was rest that spread into the world? What if we made this space truly a Sabbath? Jesus is here to lift us up. Jesus is always here to make this place as restful as God's love. Amen.